Aaron.
Yes.
How mad are you?
About what?
What the f*** is going on down there?
Hey everybody, it's the podcast after the TFCon podcast, and joining me for a third podcast in a row, because he's throwing his weight around, is Aaron.
I'm glad I did that math for you before you made yourself look silly.
Yeah, what math?
Because earlier you said two in a row, and I had to remind you that I'd been on the episode even before that one.
Do we have proof of that?
You were shocked and surprised.
Do we have proof of that? Is there a recording of that?
I think there is. I think that's actually what we do.
Wild speculation on the part of Aaron. We'll see, I guess, when we check the tape. Also joining us is TJ Omega over there.
Yeah, I'm over here.
Over in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Which is over here.
So what's new in Florida? How's the weather?
The weather sucks.
Is it hot enough to cause foliage to just catch fire?
Well, no, because there's such humidity in the air, nothing can actually get dry.
So over in BC, I've been hearing from my mom over the phone, and then I checked. Apparently BC just caught fire and has been burning for some weeks.
Because this is not good.
Yeah, it's hot and dry over there. Over on the island, apparently you could just see this smoky yellow haze in the distance. And some of the burning smoke.
For once, it wasn't marijuana.
Well, yeah, and some of the burning tree smoke actually got to the island, and like it smelled funny outside, apparently, in Victoria. And I was like, I leave for just a little while, and you guys literally start burning the province. Wow. I met some people from BC at TFCon as well, and confirmed with them that, yes, the province is literally on fire. So I asked them, like, if they're planning to go back, or if they're just going to lay down some roots in Toronto and just, you know, stay where it isn't on fire.
Well, just stay here until they get that stuff figured out.
Until they put it out. You know, you got a fire extinguisher. Just put the fire out. Just put it out. Aaron, you joined us at the WTF. We recorded at TFCon, which I haven't put up. I have not put it up yet. I have to still pull that audio out. This episode probably won't go up until next week because I'm going to another convention tomorrow, and I don't know what free time.
Sounds like you'll have plenty of time to work on it.
Yeah, you're going to go to a convention, then sit in a hotel room and edit. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm. I've seen you do it.
Yeah.
I've seen you do it many times.
Really?
Yes. You edit videos, you edit audio.
Yeah.
You're a shut-in. It's what I'm saying.
I'm trying to reimagine my lifestyle a little bit. Get out a little. Go in the hallway a bit more.
Discover the Vangelis brand.
That's right. You know, we're gonna get out there. We're gonna be a name that people trust and respect. Aaron, so I didn't talk to you afterwards because and I felt bad that there were long periods where you were just sort of on the call hearing this weird room noise. But how did that work on your end?
It wasn't bad. It was I had to kind of know that it's appropriate to interject at times, and just due to lag that I knew that was in the system, I tried to be poignant when I could, and it would be good, not just try and, you know, the lack of lag that's when you're sitting there at a panel.
Yeah.
You know, you can have better reactions, and you catch those moments of taking a breath, or you see the other person starting to talk, so that you can step in and continue a conversation versus, you know, sitting here at my desk watching an odd angle of you and Random Factor, and then occasionally butting in when it was appropriate.
I thought it was pretty magical when you would just hear something happening to Malwave and comment
well,
on
he,
it
he
just
has
knowing.
He has a very distinctive shriek.
Yes, yes, he does. That was fun. Would you believe, Aaron, that while you were talking, I just now realized I should go to Dropbox and download your local recording from that call-in?
That probably wouldn't hurt, because there'll be another recording there here in 2-3 hours.
I just downloaded it at 9:32 p.m. 1 minute ago. Aaron TFConCallIn.mp3.
Yep.
Well, we were going to talk a little bit.
But now they know the secrets of how it works.
Oh, no! Now we're going to talk a little bit about some Transformers stuff. I didn't put into the topic list the third-party panel, which is basically like the podcast discussable toy news of TFCon, but I guess I should check. Did either of you guys check out the 400 slides and see anything that really caught your eye?
I zipped through them. As is standard, I have to mention the Masterpiece Jazz, or else Alfie may hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It seemed like a whole lot of people going, yeah, we were working on Ironhide. And then, so things were announced, and so, yeah, our version of a Masterpiece Ironhide.
So, Voodoo Robots, that's their first piece they're releasing. They had, I think they were the guys who had, like, a prototype in the Detolf. They've been releasing updates. Mm-hmm. They are sticking to their guns because their Ironhide has a much different aesthetic, especially in the groin, than the real one that's coming out.
Yeah.
And, I'm not, like, going to go pre-order it, but I kind of feel for them because I think they are trying to do something cool, and I think that they want to stick with it and, like, finish this first project and try to prove that they are doing something cool. I think I said this at the panel. I feel a slight empathy for them. I think that they had a real bad shake. They made a real unfortunate decision, and I think that I'm going to keep looking at what they're doing because, like, they're trying, like, mad to maintain some semblance of relevance with their first project.
I think something that all of those guys might be well served by, or maybe some of those are a little bit further out, is to drop Ironhide and go with Ratchet.
Yeah, I think that that's Ratchet's the first one Voodoo's putting out.
Okay,
I think.
I know that you know that if Takara has set up Ironhide, they've also set up Ratchet. But at least if you can get your Ratchet out before they really show anything of Takara shows anything of theirs, then at least you've got a good chance of not being flooded out.
Yeah, totally. I can't remember which one is the first number that's coming out. I'm trying to figure out, but the first figure is their Ratchet. Thank goodness.
Okay.
I hope they can pull off something cool. I always feel a little something for a new company, even now in 2015. And so, fingers crossed. Now, TFC. They showed that Ironhide ages ago, and people's reaction was, that doesn't look like Masterpiece, it looks kind of like stumpy crap. I feel like, in the case of TFC, pursuing anything that is not that Lyokaiser is not worth their time. They have to make that Lyokaiser succeed so that anyone cares about anything they ever do again. I'm trying to figure out how the double standard is working for me here, in that I feel like, no, Voodoo, it's cool, you should keep going, man, a pat in the back, and with TFC I'm like, no, just go keep falling down a staircase. Like, I don't know where the delineation is happening in my head for that yet, but it's just how I feel. There were a lot of Ironhide slides in there. There were a lot of slides. Poor Ryan, who was running that, I didn't see that panel, but apparently he was just going at a breakneck speed trying to get through 400 some slides in 45 minutes.
He's just like,
yeah.
Gotta switch off the finger on the mouse. Oh, feeling the burn. Look, slide, 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 slide. Look a toy.
Well, you saw how many of those slides were the classic, like, and here's like five slides of the history of this company, and it's like, I don't think that's necessary anymore.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about it outside.
Title
there.
Slide, maybe one slide with all their stuff on it.
And
or a
their
couple
logo.
Of recognizables.
All their stuff and
yeah,
their
maybe
logo.
Even their logo and that. What if they're a bigger company, their logo made out of the stuff they've made?
Yeah, you know, like, because there's a logo slide and then these history slides. And it's like, no, just pack all those together because, holy crap, 400 slides. Let's.
Yeah.
DJ, did you get a chance to flip through all them pictures? Did anything catch your eye in there?
I honestly keep my head so far out of third party. Like, this is literally the first time I'm scanning through it.
Oh, it's pretty good workout for your fingers. It's a good mental exercise to be able to process all those images just by slamming through them. The main thing in there that I thought was interesting outside of stuff I'm more interested in is that TFC Lyokaiser. Given how many people for years have been saying, hey, someone do a Lyokaiser! TFC doing Lyokaiser feels like an awareness on their part that they gotta friggin' pull their pants up and get back into the seat, because, like, they have their fans, but in the wider picture, they have become such a nothing compared to what they were a couple years ago. And unfortunately, it makes me hesitant even about their Lyokaiser. Like, it looks decent. I was telling people at TFCon, by all reports, their Defensor, whatever it was called, now I can't remember, but their Defensor was apparently a marked step up for build quality on TFC's part compared, like, it was the first time since Hercules that something like it was a slight step up from Hercules rather than, like, a step up from Uranus or Ares, which were both, as far as I heard, steps down. So there is this chance that their Lyokaiser could be their resurgence, but who knows? Either way, it's cool that someone is doing Lyokaiser, and Fans Project is doing Dino King. It's cool that there are companies looking more towards what is so weird for me to say is a niche of G1, given how much subject matter is covered by a lot of unofficial companies nowadays. Anyway, didn't want to spend too long on that, because that's, sadly enough, become kind of old news now, all that stuff. But we've got an official thing to talk about, which I guess it all just kind of dropped, what, today? The Platinum Edition Dinobots set?
Yeah.
A little bit of a 1-2 punch.
In like two or three kind of chunks.
Yeah. So I'd heard people who had grapevine connections, as you do, talking about there's a Platinum Dinobots set, and everyone was all confidence built, like, it's going to be the G1 Dinobots. And my main reaction to that was, I would love to see a set of G1 Dinobots in the movie colors, because I think that would be super interesting. Like, you know, like purple slag, I think would be really cool. So now we've seen what it is. Our first image was to see that it's basically the San Diego Comic-Con set with less paint apps. At first glance, that's what we saw. And Amazon Slog thrown in as well. So it's the five Dinobots. It's the movie Dinobots in G1 colors with chrome, black, and red. And gray. Then we got these close-up pictures showing the thing that then caused this whiplash effect where all of us smug San Diego people went, "Wait, what?" Which is that these Dinobots all seem to have new heads, which are all very G1 oriented, and I will readily admit they are sculpted in a way that adds enough greeble for them to look like they match up with the movie bodies they're on, even though I still feel weird seeing big goggle-eyed G1 heads on movie bodies.
Yeah.
There's something about it that's not quite working for me. It was pointed out to me on Twitter that the heads do have a little bit to, like, easiest example in the case of Slag, that head looks a bunch like an IDW Slag head, with the big red eyes, and I kind of see that. Either way, this is kind of cool, because the San Diego set was a really neat concept, and I'm glad more people will get a chance to have a crack at it if it's built as well. Looking at these at a glance, I haven't done any side-by-sides. I still feel okay, because I still think mine look better. I think the San Diego ones had all this extra tampographing and stuff, mimicking old decals. Snarl had a gold chest that looked way cooler than this. I feel like the value's still there. Also, let's not forget the big friggin' pop-up arc by Matthew Reinhardt.
Yeah.
I don't feel entirely screwed over. But man, yeah, I certainly was staring.
It is two completely different things. I mean, the add-ons from the San Diego set do, I think, make it a completely different set. Yes, they're similar concepts, but, you know, it's different paint, different boxes, different heads for the other way. You can, and if you really want, you can get both of them and make your bestest ever G1-ish Dinobots.
You damn right you can. I have seen a lot of people, though, feel that those heads are a marked improvement, and I think that's awesome for whoever's gunning for this set, because there's nothing better than missing a San Diego set and then getting another crack at basically those colors, but for potentially cheaper and slightly improved. Easy example, The Platinum Bruticus versus Grimlock basically being San Diego Bruticus, but way cheaper. That must have sucked for a bunch of people. It certainly was nice for a bunch of other people. Aaron, between the two, like how are you feeling about the differences? Do you think one suits your taste more than the other?
I think overall, if I was told, hey, you can have one of these sets or the other and not have to pay for them because I'm cheap, I think I'd probably go for the San Diego set over this set, but I don't... It's not as if one is horrible and one is the best thing ever. They're both pretty good sets.
Is it the Matthew Reinhardt pop-up that's doing it for you? Because
the pop-up goes a long way. I think the Tampos, I like that.
Okay.
Because if you're calling back to G1, you know, go whole hog into it.
I was going to say, like, this comparison, if we ignore prices, I'd almost say if we're going to ignore prices, let's also just ignore the pop-up thing, because that makes it almost unfair.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it's more, I think I like, you know, well, like I said, if you're going for the G1 look on these movie Dinobots, those Tampos mimicking the old decals take it that last step.
Yeah. And as for prices, this is platinum, so don't expect a nice price.
Yeah, I was trying to do the math on what I think this would end up being and just kind of gave up.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because it's not... this is the same as Dinobots Unleashed, right? That was 5 Dinobots as well?
Yes, this is 5 Dinobots, 2 Voyagers, 3 Deluxes. So, retail price of the 2 Voyagers at that time, that'd be 50. The 3 Deluxes would be another 40. So, if this was standard, that'd be like 90. So, with Platinum means, I'd probably say 125 to 150?
I'd say 150 and up is what I would expect. Especially if Toys R Us gets their hands on it.
Yeah, if Toys R Us gets their hands on it, there's also new heads. So, yes, 150 is probably going to be the bottom end.
Well, DJ, how are you feeling about this sudden news drop? It's kind of nicely timed for this episode. We got a nice, fresh thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice of them.
Yeah, thanks. Who dropped it again?
I have no idea.
Alucard Lee, was it? I can't remember. Anyway, how do you feel about
these
guys?
Thank you, anonymous helper. as someone who owned the San Diego Comic-Con Dinobots, it's not bad. Like, I think anyone who wanted those had ample opportunity. They kind of sat at... They kind of sat in store for a long time, a lot longer than the San Diego Comic Cons used to last.
I don't actually remember them selling out, or if anyone noticed when they sold out.
I think by then pretty much no one cared by the time they sold out.
Yeah,
there was absolutely no rush. I think I waited like a month before I bought them.
Do you think there's a chance these might have been made in some way out of some overstock? I don't think there is.
No. I remember when that used to be rumors, like, oh no, they just like repackaged a bunch of overstock. No, that's never how that works, because
the only time that happens is when you see the two cards get taped next to each other.
Yeah,
that's overstock running through.
Yeah, which is usually Walmart going, please, dear God, take these off of our warehouse.
That was attach everyone to Mudflap, if I recall correctly, during Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, well, Mudflap and Dark of the Moon. Poor Energon Ironhide got packed with everybody.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Yeah. That didn't even get taped. That was just cellophane together.
Yeah.
But this set, I mean, it's nice if you didn't have the chance to get that one. I do like the G1 head sculpts. I mean, if you're going to go with G1 deco, yeah, the one distraction I had for the San Diego set, the heads just did not match the G1 color scheme, especially with the Tampograph sticker. I would prefer this one if it took the chrome off. Like, if it was metallic paint instead of the chrome, because having those in person, Snarl especially, really kind of scary to play with.
Yeah, Snarl has a lot of parts budding that happens to be the parts that are chromed on him.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because he's a real fun toy. I mean, that said, I never had any problems with the chrome really chipping off. Like, I think that they did do a very, I don't know how to put this right, they did a very durable vac seal on the chrome, I think. You know, as modern vacuum chrome tends to be, it you know, well-done vacuum chrome anyway. So the San Diego set had a good job done. I don't know how the Platinum set will fare. It certainly helps that, like, it looks like all the chrome on this is silver.
I thought, did Grimlock still have a little bit of...
I don't think
there's
this
some
Grimlock...
gold. I think it's all painted now.
Yeah, it's all painted on Grimlock. So the only chrome on the Platinum set is silver. That means there's no pigmentation to worry about losing. It might be a safer set to mess with. Depends if the chrome is held on tightly enough, I suppose. I think it looks fine. I think the price on it's gonna suck. Depending who gets it. But the thing I'm happy to see, you know, from the pictures we do have, is that they did the thing they did with Swoop, where he's got the the translucent skull caps over like solid material. And I remember that effect looked super sharp. In fact, Grimlock does not have that effect on his head anymore, and I believe he did. No, wait, was it on the head? Grimlock had that translucent over an underpainted surface look somewhere. Yeah. And I'm not seeing on this one. Because I remember that was a big deal that they did that. That was in the video. They mentioned that, and I thought it looked really cool. Doesn't seem to be on this one. Oh, no, that was on his claws. I can't tell in any of these photos. Okay, I might be wrong.
It was on his claws. Okay, I can tell that Slog's head is painted the same way. I can't tell if it's painted, like, internally the same way Grimlock's parts were.
Yeah. I don't know. I want to specify that I don't want to shoot this set down. Like, I don't want people to feel bad about this set or the San Diego one. You know, like, there's enough differences. They are very close enough to cause some very justified blinking and spit taking in a comedic fashion. But yeah, we'll see when it comes out, I suppose. It's nice to finally close the book on that long-standing Platinum Dinobots rumor. I know this is not the way that some people wanted the book to be closed. I can just scroll down very briefly through the thread to see someone with a gif of people yelling boo and throwing stuff at Mr. Burns. A lot of people, I think, were expecting this to be the G1 Dinobots, going by their reactions. And you know what? If you've been keeping up with that rumor as long as some people have, I don't blame you. That probably is kind of a bummer. The G1 Dinobot molds, as far as we know, still haven't been made ready for Encore. Because they were, I know that back in the aughts, they were called out as being molds that had been lost or destroyed, so they'd have to be back engineered. So I was always hoping that it would happen, because it would be cool to have those things available to shoot new colors into, because you could do the G1 colors, you could do Dioclone colors, do all the G2 colors, do the movie Dinobot toy colors. Like, there was lots of potential to have fun with that, and I hope it happens sometime.
You knew they'd do that. If they found those molds or recast them completely, they'd have to get their money out of them. So,
yeah.
like a five-pack right out of the gate probably wouldn't be the best way to do that.
I just was so excited at the idea that I would get to see, like, all these fresh colors shot into the, you know, that fairly classic fivesome of old toys. Anyway, we'll see what the price is on these in the meantime. While we're talking about Platinum, I don't remember where it all is now. I got information, and I think I talked about this with some people. Did we talk about it on here that it was figured out what that Platinum Astro Train's weird deco was trying to be?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Someone figured it out. I can't remember his name now. I have to go look it up. But you remember Landcross and the Multiforce?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I do recall talking about this.
Someone figured out that he is supposed to be... Hang on. That's the one I got when I was little. Yeah, Mock Tackle. He's supposed to be in some version of Mock Tackle's colors. Because Mock Tackle was a space shuttle and a truck thing. A white space shuttle and an orange truck thing. And so apparently it has now become quite a common theory among people that weird Astro Train is mimicking Mock Tackle. I kind of see it, I guess, if we're going to just figure out whatever he's supposed to be. If he's supposed to be Mock Tackle, I don't think he's doing a super good job of looking like it. But there you go. I couldn't remember if we talked about it on here at all.
We did. I'm currently shaking my head in disapproval.
All right. Well, it's another book we have now closed. I think did that set actually come out yet, or was it just the Perceptor Blaster one that came out?
Perceptor Blaster isn't out yet. I know the Seekers just got sighted.
I thought Perceptor Blaster was out somewhere.
I thought I'd seen something where Perceptor Blaster was out.
I know it got announced for Target. Like, I'm after that set, so I'm pretty sure I know.
It might not be stateside where it's been spotted, but I can't remember. I feel bad because this is kind of showing how much I'm paying attention to the Platinum G1 reissues. Yeah, that Seeker set, I remember someone or a couple people finding those, and I'm tempted by that one because I like the cone heads a lot. They have pretty colors. Anyway, let's move on to some new picture picks. Aaron, let's start off with you, Mr. Three in a Row. You must be old hat at this now. What's your picture pick? You must have one all.
The $2,000 Prime 1 Studio Ultimate Optimus Prime statue.
No, you getting it?
Hell no. $2,000 for, I mean, it looks great and it looks impressive. And you can change its hands.
And arms.
And is it the arms?
Arms and hands.
Okay, he's because everything looks like he just has, you have open hands or closed hands. Oh, I guess he does have gauntleted hands and non-gauntleted arms.
There's a list here. He comes with regular arms, knight arms, switchable regular fists, switchable regular palm holding sword handle left, switchable knight fists left, switchable knight palm left, switchable knight palm holding sword handle right, two heads, regular or battle mask, and a bunch of weapons that I guess you can stick into some of those hands. So he's got options for his head and arms and hands.
At $2,000, I would hope for something very poseable.
Is Prime 1... not Prime 1. It's those guys who changed their name that were going to do 50 Iron Man toys in 1 year. Yeah. That are doing a poseable Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. Prime 1, I think, like, they are the guys who have been doing those super high-end movie robot statues. It seems like their specialty for Transformers is that they can render the movie designs in immaculate real-life detail, which I've heard is pretty amazing to look at in person. I got to look at their Megatron statue at New York Comic Con because someone was selling it. It looked amazing. Like, it did look amazing. I am sure that the money is going into literally rendering a CG model in real life. So I can understand how this costs $2,000 on the production side. I mean, combined with the fact that they are probably not making many.
1500 regular version, 888 exclusive version.
That's a lot more confident than I thought they might
be.
That's
ambitious.
I was thinking like 500 regular, 250 exclusive. Okay. Yeah.
Like even the Hard Hero stuff that was cheap and G1 based didn't go for the numbers like that.
Well, you know, these guys show up at trade shows and conventions. They get feedback. Clearly they have an audience.
And I wonder if this is another one of those, like, overseas whale aimed items.
Are they? Well, I believe that they produce some stuff, or at least they have stock on hand stateside.
Right, but I'm wondering if this is one of those things that's aimed for the bigger, more expensive, flashier show of Transformers love is what some people go for.
Oh yeah, I mean this is the kind of item aimed at the person who's looking at that that Star Wars arcade cabinet with the gyroscopic option that was going recently. Like, you know, for the person who makes many thousands of dollars a month, to whom, you know, $2,000 is kind of a drop in the bucket. Like, those folks exist and they have their loves and their pop culture. I would love to see this thing in person.
I would too. I think that this looks very good. Mm-hmm. I think it's massively priced, and I would hope that for that price you get a whole lot.
It's LEDs, and
that does it, because those are expensive and can't get thrown in everything.
I just noticed they also include like a base for whatever head you aren't using, to so you have a bust to go with the statue, and that's kind of cool. The exclusive comes with the Seed, which is kind of a standalone display piece. That's a third display piece. You only get an energy sword with the exclusive version. I think that's kind of bunk. That seems dumb, but maybe the energy sword is produced using another material. I don't know. It seems to just be a replacement hand. It looks wonderful. Not my thing at all, but would love to see it in person. Then this is, I think, Ultimate Edition. I think this must be a step up from their usual stuff somehow. Like, maybe the amount of parts included?
Maybe. I
don't know.
At that price, it better be, like, not, like, one step up, but, like, maybe the whole staircase.
I mean, my understanding is that, like, the base, for instance, I think on the Megatron I saw at New York, they said that the base was, like, cold cast or something. So, like, the base piece that he's standing on is, like, immensely heavy. Then he, like, you know, metal pins into it. I don't know. There's something fascinating about those. And it's, I think it's amazing that Prime One Studios seems to be finding some success making these like life, these basically true to life renditions of the CG models of the movie Transformers. Cause I never thought there'd be that kind of audience for that stuff, but lo and behold, there is, TJ, you just got some Mega Man statues. You're a statue guy now. How do you feel about Prime One Studios Optimus?
I got big vinyl statues that don't cost nearly this much.
Well, imagine that they're made of cold cast and that they have human blood in them or something. And, you know, get them on the level.
Who's to say mine don't?
Well, you know, that before you got them.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. I'm kind of with you guys. It's like, there's no feasible, like, thing in my brain that would ever say, yeah, you could swing that. You know, if you sell a kidney or two, you know? I would love to see it in person. Mm-hmm. Like, it looks like it'd be absolutely magnificent to behold. I just never want to see it in my home.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, like, I wish I could make it to a convention that, like, Prime One is at just so I could see their booth. I'd love to see their booth, you know? At New York Comic Con, there's a booth of people who do the Mortal Kombat statues. And some of that stuff is amazing to look at in person. That's how I want to enjoy these things. I want to go to a trade show, go to a convention, just see them on display in a case, and then, you know, take my photos. Anyway, if there are any listeners out there who are customers of Prime One Studios, could give us, you know, what your experience has been getting any of their Transformer stuff. I'd love to hear it. You know, come by the thread, just drop a line, let us know what this stuff is like as a buyer of it. We're all spectators. We only have so much we can really say. It's amazing that it still is going on, though. You know, pat on the back to those guys. They found what they do. Mm-hmm. By far. DJ Omega, have you got a new picture pick?
I got a couple that I've been eyeballing. I think the one that kind of like caught my attention the most, and I don't even know this come up. Has there been discussion of the like previously mysterious Beast Wars Dinobot that came up?
Not on the podcast. I saw the stop motion while I was at TFCon, and I laughed my head off at the way the stop motion was filmed. Where the guy, you could see the guy's hand like making the tail come off,
yeah,
or holding it in midair.
I'm not sure. I think stop motion is kind of a generous term for this.
It was occasionally still photos of the toy. I can't even find it on the front page. And what day was that that came up?
The 18th.
All right, I'll go scrolling back. But yeah, has any light been shed upon that thing yet, or do we still not know?
No, it is fan-made. It's not third-party or Hasbro.
Oh, like, okay.
Someone 3D printed this whole thing.
Yeah. What? Wait, really?
There's no clarification of that, but that's, like, all I can figure, because it's pretty, like, expertly crafted here.
Like, there is a way that I could see that being shapeways if whoever made this then did a lot of sanding before assembly. But, like, that couldn't be a home 3D printer. It looks too... The legs look too crisp.
That's the thing. Like, I'm not even sure this could be, like, molded at home without any kind of 3D help.
What?
Because there's, like, a lot
dedication?
Going on. I a lot of it.
Been working on this since 1997. Don't laugh.
Yeah.
Because I remember, I think I was talking to Random Factor about this at TFCon. It's him or her or Ian Reed, I forgot who, but it was like, looking at this thing, it was like, the hope was this was neither masterpiece nor third party because the underbelly of the Dino mode still had plenty of problems that one would have on the Universe toy from back in the day.
So fewer problems, though.
Fewer problems, but still like, problems enough.
It transforms the way the original one did, but way cleaner.
Yeah. I wish, I hope that whoever made this thing, should they get it painted up, and I hope they do, that we get an update, because this being fan-made and not like garage kit style fan-made is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Because it really is, like, extremely well done. Like, not even just like, okay, it's sculpted very nicely and it looks very good. The engineering on it's really nice. Like, it's a pretty clever way of transforming the toy in general.
Yeah.
And it even looks like he got, like, a lot of the details that Hasbro's missed on two opportunities, like that flat raptor head on his chest in robot mode.
Yeah. I mean, there are, like, this thing is an improvement on that 2009 one. But looking at this, like, it was such an improvement that I was like, oh, if only you could have figured out some way to just clean up the underbelly a touch more. It's mostly those, like, the underbelly on the front, I think, looks okay, but there's, like, just enough underhang. And the arms feel like they're in an odd spot, even though I think that's where raptor arms are assumed to be on a real one, quote unquote. I'd love to know more about it. Yeah, if anyone hasn't checked it out, I mean, it's going to be in the topic list. And man, it is so nice to know this is fan made and not something that would have been mass produced. It still needs some work if it's going to go to mass production.
I don't know. Like, if this had come out as a Generations Voyager, you know, considering like modern engineering shortcuts and whatnot, I think I'd still be reasonably happy with it.
As a Generations Voyager, I would agree. It's just I assumed if it was Generations, it was a deluxe.
Well, I would assume if they had taken another shot at it, he'd be like considerably taller than Rattrap.
Yeah, yeah. But like, thank goodness this wasn't like third party, because like, imagine this thing for like $60.
Oh no.
Be like, yo,
no,
figure something out for that underbelly on the raptor mode first and we'll talk. Yeah, that's cool. I didn't know about the update. Yeah. I dig it. Aaron, you got any thoughts on this thing? Did you catch sight of it when it popped up?
Yeah, I saw it. I only saw it when it first came out. I was like, oh, that looks really interesting, and then hadn't followed down the trail any.
Yeah. Well, my own new picture picks another monochrome prototype, I suppose you would call it. Oritoy are making an official Optimus Prime in their Hero of Steel series. It's non-transforming because it is licensed and thus probably doesn't... I mean, when it was brought up, this is a licensed Optimus Prime, my assumption was probably won't transform because the shareholders will not be... like, my understanding is that the Hasbro shareholders are not cool with the idea of Hasbro licensing out the IP to someone to make a transforming Transformer, because the shareholder quote would be like, I thought you guys make the best Transformers because you're Hasbro and Takara Tomy. So... mm-hmm. That's why an official licensed thing usually ends up being like either it turns into a pen or it's just an action figure. So Oritoy, they're just doing an action figure. But I've played with a lot of Acid Rain, and I just recently messed around with a Laurel from Acid Rain. Makes me very excited to play with this thing. I like Oritoy a lot. Anyway, they just showed a photo of this Optimus Prime with the pre-order bonus of a Megatron pistol that Big Bad is charging an extra $20 for, because Big Bad do as they do. I'm not actually sure how the pistol is sold. I think they're calling it a pre-order bonus, but they're also saying it is tied to, I think, a trade show of some kind. ACG or something like that. I can't remember. But I really like how this Optimus looks. He's going to run about, what, 130, 140 if you don't go for the pistol. The materials use, if there's a good mixture and placement of some die-cast in the plastic, something nice for the treads on the tires and his hips. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this toy works. The aesthetic is kind of neat, and it's got a very special kind of chunk is the word, but there's another word for it. Like the shape, like the angles of those lines, the curvatures in some of the lines is very particular. Kind of makes me think of the way that the upcoming video game looks in a way. Aesthetically, this guy is a bit different, especially in the torso. But
he's a little Pat Lee in some spots.
Yeah, he's like Pat Lee with the Liefeld stripped off and a bit more of the other good Dreamwave artists piled on in a way. You know what I mean?
Like, it's odd that I can do that math in my head.
Right? That's the way I think. Yeah, that's the way it's like parsing is like you take the essence of the Pat Lee Prime and you strip all of the goofiness, you know, the stuff that people like to joke about, and you kind of super robot what's left. And I feel like that's what we've got here. Yeah, the chest has a very Pat Lee-ish look, but without the window boobs. Like, the windows are flat, not, like, protruding out. So I'm excited about this. Oritoy have a real good track record with me so far. And I'm okay with Transformers what are just action figures, because I got plenty that also transform. I don't know if this is either up of your guys' alley is what I was about to say. If this is up either of your guys' alley, Aaron, you got any thoughts on this thing?
Not really.
TJ, is this caught on your radar at all?
It looks neat, but I've got Optimus Primes that actually transform that look the way I want Optimus Prime to look.
You got Optimus Primes for days.
Like, probably.
Well, go count them. See how many hours they result in.
What, right now?
Whenever, you know.
Oh, okay.
No, it's no rush.
All right.
I went and pasted that link in, and it didn't paste the HTTP. Why'd it have to embarrass me like that? To go put that in myself now. You know, when you don't have the HTTP on a link, and you just, like, put it into the board, and then it just shows up as a line of unclickable text? And it's like that moment of like, oh. We have a listener question from BioBlade. We still have actually plenty of listener questions. I didn't get through nearly as many as I wanted to at the TFCon panel. We only got through, I think, 4 or 5. So we've got one here from BioBlade. Are you guys ready for it?
Sure.
All right. Greetings, Internet Personality Evangelists and Evangelites. I recently moved to a new apartment, and upon packing my sizable collection of Transformers, figure arts, Lego, and other odds and ends, I've come to a conclusion. Dust is the true arch nemesis of any collector. Figures I placed on a shelf less than a month ago are covered in a fine layer of it. There are cobwebs between Monster Arts King Ghidorah's various appendages. As fellow lovers of colorful plastic characters who have moved a few times themselves, how do you deal with this issue? I fear to use wipes or water on various toys, as I worry the moisture will alter the joint tolerances or smudge the paint. Compressed air helps, but is expensive and can't really remove that last layer of collected dust. Dusters can't get into all the little nooks and crannies. How do I return the shine to King Ghidorah's magnificent golden scales, the fine gloss to Primus's glorious cityscapes, the polished luster to Metal Beard's sea cow? Also, the dust is killing my sinuses. Stupid allergies. Thank you again for any tips and suggestions you might offer. Keep rocking the airwaves. Click. I'm just going to say right now, before any listener starts yelling about it, if you're worried about water damaging your toys, water will mess with metal parts, but plastic, and especially paint on a produced toy, water should not cause any damage straight off. Like, maybe if you leave them soaking in boiling water for a few days, but, like, using a moist towelette to clean a toy should be fine, unless that towelette has got, like, alcohol stuff in it. Like, just, you know, a J-cloth in some warm water, wring it out so there's barely any water left, and that is, like, the ultimate tool for getting dust off a toy if you really got to, in my experience. Aaron, I want to go to you first, not just for, you know, dust tips, but also for Lego dust tips, because you've got lots of that stuff. Number one, am I right? Like, as far as I know, a damp towel should be fine.
Yeah, what I do is we have, like, I think they're called the Swifters, the, like, feathery...
Yeah.
That static cling thing. Really just a couple of passes with that, and, I mean, Lego's durable stuff, so you can kind of scrub with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And you'll get most everything. The other thing is learning how to turn a blind eye to dust.
That helps a lot.
Because short of... Yeah, I mean, the one thing to potentially look at if you're excessively dusty is see what your, like, your home's air handling vents and filters look like. So, I know at my house, every couple months, I just need to change the filter on the furnace. And that goes a long way to knocking down dust, because theoretically all of the air is going to go in the house should be going through that or whatnot. So that is a good way to nip some of that in the bud. And then there are other things that you can do to help keep dust down in your house, and it's attack it at its source first and then try and figure out ways to deal with it once it's settled.
So I use those Swiffer things a lot, and they help a lot, but the thing they cannot do, in my experience, is get dust out of, like, crevices.
Mm-hmm.
That's where a damp J-cloth or paper towel will help you a lot, and I mean, like, very lightly damp. Also, don't wipe water over stickers, of course.
Right.
Like, before
right.
anyone thinks that this is magic. Like, no, that'll... Stickers and metal can get... And metal only gets damaged by water if the water stays there for a while, because that will cause oxidation. Is that the word right. or oxidization? I always forget.
Oxidation.
Oxidation. Okay. Yeah. Rust, I basically. Believe. It'll rust. Make your pins turn orange, and that always looks ugly. But, I mean, I have washed figures before when they are just, like, painted plastic, like, just plastic and painted, and it's, like, factory paint. That stuff has a seal on it that usually can withstand water. Figures can take heat pretty well. Joint tolerances should not be... I don't think you can alter joint tolerances just with moisture, in my experience.
No. You would need boiling water to alter the molecular structure of the plastic.
Yeah, boiling water makes plastic more pliable, but then when the plastic cools, like, it usually cools back to its original state unless you are purposefully modifying something in a softer plastic piece. So, like, basically, you're not going to wash them with boiling water, right? Like, you're going to use warm water, and just a bit, in a paper towel or a J-cloth, so it's not dripping wet, it's just a moist thing. That will get a lot of dust out. Also, just dust. If you dust your stuff more regularly, you won't get it caked on so hard that you need to use water in most cases.
Right.
Dust does suck. I hate dust. And like Aaron said, if you can turn a blind eye to it, that's the best solution. I wish I could more often, because sometimes I catch sight of something.
Yeah, I'm not saying, you know, wait until you have 2 inches of dust on it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Being able to go like, well, it's been a couple of months. I probably need to dust.
When they swapped the windows in my apartment and the wind came in and apparently blasted the tarps off of my bookshelf that my masterpieces were on, so I came home to Fort Max and all my masterpiece toys like caked in not just dust, but plaster dust. That was a night, man. That was a night, because I didn't have enough compressed air. So
construction dust is an entirely different thing.
Yeah, that was me taking masterpiece toys. This worked, and I was very careful to only exhale around them and then turn away to inhale. Basically, pick up Bumblebee, find another spot, you know, not do that too often, because then you'll get lightheaded because you're breathing in and out rapidly. But that was an adventure, to be sure. With construction dust, the main thing I've found is get it off right away, otherwise it'll grip, you know, like it'll settle. If it's still kind of fresh, it'll come off a bit easier. TJ, what about you? What's your dusting experience? Or do you just, like, let it happen? It's like, that's all me. That dust is all just my skin, my hair. Who cares? Yeah. It's me.
It's like me putting my stamp around the entire room.
These are mine.
Yeah, I'm marking territory with laziness. I don't generally like to have dust piling up. I hate to say it, but the easiest way to just keep dust off is to keep it from forming there in the first place. So, like, for me, I will take, I don't know, I'll take, like, a spare weekend whenever I get it, pick 3 or 4 shelves, and just go over everything with, like, a light dusting brush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing that's gonna harm or scratch any of the paint, just, like, it's actually like an old makeup brush. Just because it's enough to take off the surface dust. And if anything's just, like, in the crevices, it's, you know, like the old soft toothbrush. And a little bit of water, just enough to get it slightly damp.
Yeah, the importance of the moisture is that traps the dust rather than blasting it back out into the air.
Right.
Which, especially if you have allergies, it's a much nicer way to handle things than, like, you know, feather dusting. Because then if you're using a cloth, you are trapping the dust on the moist parts of the cloth.
Right.
That's what I use for shelving, because, like, I did the thing once where I cleared a shelf off. I'm like, all right, time to dust. And I just, like, swiped the dust off, and it all just hit me right in the face. And I was like, this is doing nothing. So I learned about the damp washcloth, damp paper towel thing after that.
Yeah, it's the difference between removing dust and moving dust.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's kind of annoying. Like, especially if you have, like, depending on how large the collection is and how severe the allergy is, it might be worth it just to invest in some detolfs. Just, you know, it's a lot easier to worry about when it's all just shut away behind a glass door.
And the thing I learned about, because, I mean, I don't do this because I'm too lazy, but, like, detolfs do have enough gaps that dust will eventually accumulate. If you go onto 1/6 scale forums, those guys don't like dust. So they have all kinds of pictorial guides and images of their mods to detolfs, using, like, weather stripping and stuff to fully seal a detolf. Like I said, I haven't done it. I'm too lazy. But there are people who have figured out, like, who make it their business to figure out how to fully dust seal a detolf or a Besta. So, you know, there are resources out there. But The real thing about this question that I wanted to cover is, like, don't be afraid of water on toys. Like, don't throw your toys into buckets of water, but, like, you know, using just wipes, just make sure the wipes don't have alcohol in them, because then you'll be sad. Because if it's, like, glasses cleaner wipes or something, that might be a bit tricky depending on the toy. But just water on a surface should be fine. Mm-hmm. You know, just be sensible. If you're worried, ask somebody. If they're worried, then tell them they're being nonsensical and you were just testing them, and then you can shame them into trying stuff out for you. Don't do that. That's manipulative. Anyway, hope that answered your question, BioBlade. Thank you for the font size 17 click. This is a perfect spot for an intermission, as it always is. We'll be back after this to talk about stuff we got this week. I got a TFCon haul to talk about. Not a huge one, just a couple things, but I'm excited about it. So stay tuned. If it's stuff you can't ignore, Uniswiffer.
On the shelf, TV, and more. Uniswiffer. Swiffer Duster traps and locks dust on contact. You've never cleaned like this before.
Swiffer good.
Stop cleaning. Start swiffering.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. It's time to talk about what we got this week. And I got stuff at TFCons. I'm going to go first. Sorry, guys. So I went to TFCon and I got things that were on topic. You might be surprised. You know, I went to a Transformers convention and got Transforming Robots.
Crazy how that works.
Almost all of it's unofficial product. But it's TFCon. You know, that's what you do. So I'm going to have Google open so I can send you guys pictures as I'm talking. The first thing I'll talk about that I got came from, this is at Madhouse Toys booth. And they were sharing a booth with Ages 3 and Up and Toy Dojo. And it's just this big, long, wonderful experience of third-party stuff. But what they had was this thing called Adder, which was a TFCon exclusive. It's a Target Master from X-Transbot. It's the Target Master for their upcoming masterpiece Scourge called Andras. So this guy was redone in G.I. Joe Cobra colors, like very Cobra blue, very Cobra red for the face. And he came with a sticker sheet to add some black spots to his legs. It's not in any of the photos in the page I sent you to, unfortunately. And it also came with actual, like, Cobra and Decepticon insignias that I put onto his shoulders. And he's a real sweet robot. Like, he's a little bit taller than Masterpiece Rodimus's Target Master, but his posability is very much the same, except that he also has ankle tilts. So he has no waist joint, no bicep swivels, which are his biggest problems. But, like, you know, ball socket stuff all over the place otherwise, double hinged elbows, ball socket and detented pin disc shoulders. A really great, really expressive robot mode. He turns into a gun. His gun mode kind of sucks. His legs are the only things on the gun mode that actually tab in anywhere. Everything else just kind of sits in place. And if you grab his gun mode, like if you grab him in gun mode, you might just like knock his arms out of whack because they're sitting in place, connected by ball joints.
Yeah, looks like they're just hanging out.
Yep, they just sit there. That was real disappointing. I'm hoping that since this is, you know, this is like the teaser for Andras, I'm hoping that before Andras comes out, maybe they can mess with the tooling and at least add like a tab or something somewhere for the arms at least. Because the gun mode I found kind of disappointing. It felt real hackneyed and unfinished. The handle is pretty cool because it's got like a tab for, you know, Masterpiece cars. Sideswipe, I could not really get him to hold it well, but Wheeljack and Exhaust held him really well. So, you know, your mileage may vary. It's obviously was designed for Andras first. But then the bit on the handle underneath the palm tab is like, it's like a slat. So it's not like round, it's more like rectangular, but it happens to be 5 millimeters long. So if you have a toy with enough clearance, you can just put him into a 5 millimeter port, which is kind of cool. I like him. His gun mode sucks, but his robot mode is so good that it's like, I just like him as the robot. And his profile is that he's an agent of Viper, who was horrifically injured, and so he was put through this experimental process to go in a cyborg body, and now he's like a freelance Target Master, basically, who works for Cobra. So he's neat. I also picked up this thing by SXS called Overclocking. He was actually the subject of my fan media panel. He's an unofficial blur, which I think we've looked at on the podcast a while ago. He came out from this company that did a thing called Continuously Variable. It was their version of Gears, and by all accounts, it kind of sucked, so this one sort of went under the radar. I got him from ReproLabels table with all the ReproLabels applied for $50, Canadian, which is like $40 American. He's well worth that. I think he's well worth other prices. It kind of sucks at his regular price of about 100 American. I think that SXS just don't have a good factory hookup, because it seems like he was expensive to produce. But holy crap, I really like him. Like, he's built really well. He's made from good materials. He uses a neat mixture of like some crystalline blue stuff with his regular blue stuff. The repro labels were already applied, so I don't know how I would have felt with him having none of them on. But I'm kind of in love with the figure. I like both his modes. His face sculpt is the only part that kind of sucks. He does have some parts forming a la G1 Blur, but like he's a fun playable toy, and he feels really good. Like, all the reports of SXS's first toy is that it felt like it was built out of like soap bottle material. This feels like easily up there with some of the better third party toys. Like, it feels like it's made from 2009 Hasbro plastic.
Okay.
The reason I got him so cheap is repro labels, without really telling anybody, they just had toys on their table. And they were like, yeah, these are the toys we use to like prototype our sticker sheets and do our photo shoots with, and now we're selling them. And so he's like, they've had stickers applied and ripped off, they've been played with, you know, they're used. So the prices he was selling them for were ridiculously low. Like, this thing used to be $100, like, or 120 Canadian, got him for 50. And also all labels applied. Deathformer got Make Toys Utopia with their label sheet applied for 300 Canadian. That's a lot cheaper than what he costs regularly. I walked up there just in time to see someone get a copy of Quantron with all labels applied for 375 Canadian. And like, the label sheets, that's a part of the cost I don't think a lot of people are even thinking about. Because on like Quantron and Utopia, those are like $20, $30 label sheets and like a couple hours of label application. So like, maybe they're scuffed up a bit. For all of it to be done though for you, like, it's... To me, that was part of the premium, and so for it to then be savings, I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So that was, like, my favorite booth. I only bought one thing there, but I kept going back and hovering and going, like, I almost wanted to offer them money for, like, the loose Combiner Wars toys they had that were stickered up, and I didn't think of it. I mean, I already have those toys, but I was like, I'll just buy the stickered one. Like,
well, it's repro label, so I'm assuming they're getting rid of all the photo samples they took.
Pretty much. Yeah, those are the toys they use for prototyping their stickers, and like they make their money back on the stickers. So like,
yeah, that's already a sunk cost. So
it was just cool because they had no signs up; they just had these boxes sitting on their table. So like, it was word of mouth how they sold stuff. I thought it was kind of amazing. Like, it was by far my favorite part of TFCon's dealer room. It was just the mysterious repro labels like liquidation. So, you know, props to those guys. It was so cool. Some of the other stuff I got, I picked up Make Toys Cupola. That is the first figure in their remaster series, which is Make Toys' Masterpiece Alike series. So Cupola is their version of Chrome Dome, the headmaster. And as you may have heard, he is really big. He's like as tall as MP10. Because he's using the Headmaster's Japanese cartoon approach, where Chrome Dome was the Optimus Prime of Headmasters, basically. So he's MP10 tall. His car mode is kind of like Masterpiece Rodimus size. And I like him. I think that the mission statement of this figure became clear to me. Like, he's pretty complicated to transform. But like, it was one of those things where I needed the instructions going from robot to car. But then I found I didn't need them afterwards. Like, once I knew where stuff went, I was like, oh, this is the logic of this transformation. Okay. It's really just like order of movements. He's got like silicone on the tires. His headmaster is pretty cool. His headmaster could have stood to be maybe a touch more poseable. And I feel like a scumbag saying that about a headmaster toy. But I really dig him. Like, he's big, but like he's got just big, thick like chunks, and like his joints are all like big. They have big die cast armatures and stuff. The only major problem with him is he's got these two ball jointed panels on the front of his feet, and they pop off the ball joints super duper easy. It's a big ball socket joint, so the fix is pretty easy too. I just have been too lazy to do it. I dig him. Like, he could be a bit more poseable, I guess. He's just sort of basically poseable. His hips are a bit limited going outwards. But like, the shape of his body in robot mode is so nice. And at least for the first day, the Maketoys dude was selling them directly for 120 Canadian. These things retail for 135 American on all the online retail shops, which is about 175 Canadian. Yeah, it's like 94 US. They brought a lot of cupolas. I don't think they sold through them, but they stopped selling cupolas on Sunday. There were a couple of, you know, big name dealers there who were trying to sell cupolas for 175. I got the feeling like a conversation happened at some point of like, yo, this is actually kind of uncool, dude. It was cool for me, though. And if you bought anything from those guys, they also gave you they're releasing a thing, which is like the giant Devastator team in their individual modes and their combined mode, but like as teeny tiny figurines meant to go with like a city robot. So they had a version of that done in G2 yellow plastic that they gave to you if you bought anything. So I got that too. And it's kind of neat. I just want to keep barreling through this. I also picked up the Function X redeco of Smart Robin, Combest Robin, where he's in Sonic Bomber colors. The redeco looks goddamn sharp in person. Doesn't look like intensely like Sonic Bomber so much as it's just using his color palette, but like it just looks crisp and lovely the way the paint's been applied. So I'm real happy about that too. I don't want to forget anything. I think that covers most of my. Oh, I got the convention exclusive Swoop Volar in Diaclone colors. I can't tell if he actually has like actual diecast coating on his wings and beak. It's cold to the touch, but those parts are plastic on the regular toy. So I don't know if they made new molds for diecast parts or if it's just like they used a paint that has some property that makes it cold to the touch compared to the plastic. I don't really know how any of that would work, and I don't want to like carve at it with a knife to figure it out. The main thing about him that I like is he comes with Diaclone style stickers for him and the previous two Diaclone colorways of the Lost Exo Realm Dinobots. So you can give them all those like, you know, those 80s stickers with the weird techno details. They did a bunch of those for all three and they packed it in with Volar. So I thought that was kind of cool, like a throwback if you'd got the other two. I have one more thing I got, but I've talked so much, I'm going to wait till the end of this on-topic section. So let's move along from here. That's mostly my TFCon haul. Oh, I did get some of the charity auction. I got two things. I got a piece of T-16 Skyhop Nick art of a Mad Ball. And I got the StarCats Dino Combiner. If you guys don't know what that is something that was designed by TFC Toys, but was then sold to another company for the StarCats TV show in, I think, China. So it was not produced at the TFC factory. So they are not super high quality in their build quality, but they're kind of neat. I'll send you a picture of their individual modes. It's just like blue and gray Dinobots. They are clearly meant to, you know, throw back to the G1 Dinobots. And they do have a combined mode. Problem is that this new company who put them together, I started making the combined mode, but like the ankle of the foot piece just 5mm pegs into the dino bodies to form the legs. One of those pegs just doesn't work. So one of his feet doesn't really peg on, so I have to get in there and thicken it up. I got this guy for $30 Canadian, so I'm not going to complain. And it all went to charity, so I'm double not going to complain. But I got to do some work on him. I kind of knew I'd have to when I got him. But it felt like a nice opportunity to mess around with some of this StarCats stuff. Anyway, I got one more thing. I'm going to talk about it once you two guys talk about your on topics. So, Aaron, let's move on to you. What did you transform? Hey,
on topic, I picked up Legends Groove and Rodimus. Rodimus, hey, it turns out he's a red and blue and yellow blackjack.
Yeah, who'd have thunk it? Crazy.
Yeah, but I got him because the friggin' white prime coming out in next wave and everything will need him for the chest, and I was actually surprised. My Kmart, which is always absolutely disgustingly horrible, had these as all their Transformer section. Had a whole new case. I was like, oh, well, okay. That'll do.
Yeah.
And so then the other one, the new toy of Groove, I like him. He's going to live as a chest piece, and I was surprised at first when I put him on there, because it didn't really show very well in the instructions. It showed that you use the like weird peg things on the side of his forearms to plug in two things on the side of the like ladder base that becomes the chest piece of defensor. But then I got to looking at it more, and I was like, oh, there's also this little peg and little hole, and you put these two together, and this thing locks in and isn't going anywhere now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be doing that.
Did you see just today the picture of the Japanese release of that done up as Override?
No.
Go here. They also have an updated deco on their runabout version of Blackjack.
Okay.
I like both those molds a lot. I think I'm going to get the Japanese versions too. Like, look at the crazy colors on Override. It's all red and blue.
Oh, wow.
Just like the original Override. Like, they went to that deco. It's friggin' cool.
Yeah, that red and blue. Oh, that might look pretty good on Defensor.
And look at that. Look at the friggin', like, look at Runabout.
Yeah.
Like, that's spot on kind of stuff.
I'm kind of wondering if they're doing their own thing with that. I don't know. They all look the same with the circle code deal.
I'm not sure with the multiple colors if a scanner could tell those apart, though.
Oh, it's a smartphone camera. It can read colors.
This is true, but the US ones are just like poker chip one, white right. and red or white and purple.
If you want to do that, you'd be able to encode more data with colors than black and white only. That's how Microsoft's tag thing works. However, they all look like they're the same red, blue, green, red, blue, green, red, blue, green.
So they have a sticker that goes over the real sticker, so you can't scan them in the package. I've got some of the Adventures guys.
Oh, is that
guys.
What it is?
Yeah, like I got Adventures Strong Arm. She has a plastic piece over her chest sticker with a fake sticker on top.
That way you can't cheat them?
Yep, they actually protect their stickers, so you can't scan them unless you buy the toy.
That's kind of goofy.
I just noticed Override stickers inside his split rear wheel.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome. anyway, sorry, you just reminded me. I wanted to bring that up because the groove mold I kind of like, and the Blackjack mold I adore, so I'm kind of just pursuing every version of them.
Both of those look good.
That's why I'm going to get Rodimus. I think it looks kind of dumb as a Rodimus, but I like the Blackjack mold. So.
Yeah, I kind of wish that, like, his shield axe, what becomes his axe, had a different way, or if they had remolded it, flipped around, because always with it shaping so that he has the tail fins a la Rodimus, looks like it's really putting stress on the handle part. And
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, it flexes it a little bit in a way that kind of spooks me. And I think it's ridiculous that there's no tab slot connection to plug it onto his back. Like I don't know how that slipped through something. Like it they're not dumb people making these toys.
You can tab it one on the side.
Kinda, but contrary to how a lot of the internet talks about it, idiots don't make toys. People who think a lot make toys. So it's a bummer to see like something like that, where it's like, and you know, the second redeco with a new head is Rodimus. It's not like this sort of came out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, glad you're enjoying them. I like Groove and his capris, his robot capris.
Yeah.
and
then the other thing I got was from Kevin Sigmund. He hit me up on Twitter asking if I had gotten replacement side mirrors for exhausts, and he'd mentioned that he had an extra set and wouldn't mind shipping them to me, and I was yet again astounded that it's like, okay, well, what do you want for him? Oh, nothing. I'm like, oh, but how about I pay for shipping? Nope, works paying for that.
Someday someone's gonna scalp you on something dumb to balance all this out.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, maybe. I don't know, but thank you, Kevin. He also sent me some books, I guess. He gets pre-released hardbacks and the like, and was like, yeah, what are you reading right now? I'm like, a whole lot of technical manuals, so anything's cool.
Anything with fiction would be nice.
Yeah. But for on-topic Transformer stuff, that's it for me.
Alrighty. TJ, what about you? Did you transform?
Yeah, I transformed.
All right.
Transforming starts with the Legion Fix-It figure.
That's a beautiful toy.
Yes. I'm ready to call him the best toy in that line.
Probably, yeah. For like bang for your buck, like there are some toys that do things better, some things that, you know, here and there, but like for friggin' what he does for that price point, holy crap.
Yeah. Because here's how it kind of equates in my head. $6 for a Legion figure, typically Legion toys, you know, low articulation, very tiny head, so not very, you know, detail oriented or expressive. Because he's made to be small, fix it, gets by, all of that. You know, he's got a lot of personality. He is expressive. He's got the articulation I expect. And then he's got like a torso tilt that goes forward, a neck tilt that goes back and forward. He can express and hunch over and tilt and do all these things that Legion toys shouldn't do.
Yeah. And to see it in modern Legion too, where it's like, you know, the oldest, tiniest legends have become what Legion is now. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's up there with like prime Legion Cliffjumper. As like top of the heap. This is how you stuff a toy into that price point.
Oh yeah, and it works out so well. Whereas, you know, like $15 for the larger figures, you know, okay, I see where the budget is happening on these. Like, just like compared to what I would normally get for that price, yeah. Thinking of it that way, Fixit is amazing.
Like I think it helps that he has no legs, mm-hmm. So it's like you don't have to worry about engineering legs.
Yeah,
and they rolled with that in the best way they possibly could, and the best part is I've stood him next to all the deluxes, you know, the warrior class toys. Like he looks like, I mean, maybe I haven't compared him to screenshots, but it looks like what I think he should look like next to them. Like he looks like he's close enough to quote-unquote scale for me.
Mm-hmm. Outside of Grimlock, but he's got scale problems all his own.
Yeah, I'm stoked for that Voyager Grimlock Karatomi's doing.
Yeah, same here.
I love the B team. I really want to finish them off.
So that made me happy. He is exceptionally good. I like his vehicle mode too. Like,
yeah.
I like the attention where, okay, it's, we kind of have to work something out just based on what his robot mode is. But you know, like they put in tail lights and everything, so like they're trying.
And the drills, they're mushroom pegged in with like a split mushroom peg.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pop him out pretty easy, and I know I've seen a lot of people going like, hey, who wants to make the hand accessory pack for him?
I'm fine with the drills.
I am too, but like, I'd pay $20 for a box of just like all his hands from the show. Like, it'd be kind of fun.
Going from like newest to among the oldest, a friend of mine, my friend Brian, for my birthday got me G1 Blur.
Have you ever messed with Blur before?
No.
Oh, I grew up with him. He's got a funny looking face.
Yeah, he does. No, I don't know where Brian finds this stuff. Like, he has like Craigslist hookups all over the place. Like, this thing looks like it came right out of a box. Like, the plastic isn't scratched up. The stickers are good. The paint is immaculate. Like, it is nice.
Mm.
Like, minty fresh G1. Not a bad figure. Like he's got some weird oddities to him. Like, you know, the vehicle mode doesn't close up completely, so his head's always a little bit visible.
Yeah,
and I don't know why, but like trying to get his like rear hinged back to his back always scares me because something catches trying to do it, and I don't know what's catching.
Nah, I haven't messed with him for a couple of years. I remember as a kid, I found it scary to fold his feet out. But I found it immensely satisfying to fold his legs back for vehicle mode.
He's got a lot of tight, ratchety clicks.
Yeah.
I can imagine you would appreciate that.
Oh, I loved it. And I never lost his shield, so he always had an alt mode.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that was the first time I'd seen a Blur in person, so I was like, oh, wow, that's how vital the shield is. Okay, now I understand everything.
That's why all Blur toys have always gotten this weird, like, special carte blanche to parts form the front part. Because it's always been like, well, you know, the original did it. I guess right. You can do it too.
Yeah, we can make exceptions. Yeah. It's accurate, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he's not a bad toy. Finally hit the button on my pile of loot.
Mm-hmm.
So, bunch of stuff coming in. Starting with the... if I can remember, if I have the name right. The ES Gokin Roadbuster.
Is it the little one or the big one?
The little one, the transforming, like, super deformed.
Yeah, I always forget which one's which, but, like, yeah. I think that's ES.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but Big Bad had him on sale, and I've kind of been floating around on him for a long time now, so that was happy to notice.
That explains why no one wants to buy mine if they had a sale.
So, I get this guy out of the box, and immediately the head starts falling apart on me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing has to dismantle in order to get battery in there for his little light-up gimmick. Okay, so that freaks me out, but I go, okay, pieces back together, okay, I'm cool. Stick the head back on. Okay, let's play. Okay, shoulders work, hips work. Okay, that bicep twists. That bicep does not twist. And now the arm just came off. Okay. Like, I don't know why, but like the right arm, the bicep was so paint stuck that the whole thing just kind of sheared off. And I wasn't even twisting it that hard.
Man, like plastic, the peg stem just shearing apart?
Yeah.
That sucks. Well, it's Big Bad, right? So you just have to send him a picture.
For going on sale, like, I wasn't planning to transform. This isn't, like, a heavy play toy for me. So, like, okay, super glue, stand there. You okay? All right. Just don't crumble to dust on me, and I will feel okay.
Yeah.
It's neat that it transforms. Like, of course, the head does not come with it. So, that's a little bit off-putting. But it's a neat little, like, dinky version of G1 Roadbuster's vehicle.
Yeah, and the LEDs on it are quite nice once you get batteries in there.
Yeah, little wash batteries. I can never remember to get those, so I have not seen it light up yet.
I keep a list in my phone of batteries I need because everyone uses different ones. Like, you know, people talk about, like, oh, I wish third parties would talk to each other to stop making the same characters. I don't care about that. I just want them to talk to each other to settle on a battery size. I have all these different obscure size, stupid little watch and calculator batteries in my closet. Because, you know, when you buy them for cheap off Amazon, right, you don't get two, you get, like, 50. So, I don't know what to do with all these batteries. I'll never run out. That's what's going to happen.
Do what I do. Become a Gaia memory collector. You'll need every one of them.
I cannibalized a few Gaia memories for batteries when I needed 44s. I was just like, I never pushed the button on this one. Here, give me your food.
Taking your food out of your stomach.
Yeah.
So other than a few oddities like that, and now I'm very hesitant because now a lot of the plastic on that kind of feels like, oh, really, like, funky to me. Not bad. Like, I dig the aesthetic.
Like,
I was happy when they made the first version, and then they finally go, yeah, yeah, we'll just make a Transformer. Why not?
I think, like, that's the only transforming ES Gokin they've made, if I recall correctly.
I don't follow ES Gokin, so I will have to take your word for it.
Yeah, someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought that was kind of cool that they gave it a shot with that guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you haven't. How do you feel about, like, how they handle the weapon system?
I have not played with them for about a year, so I don't remember. I remember the weapons better on the EX Gokin, like the non-SD one.
Okay.
Because his were, like, he could actually hold all of them, and they made unique weapons for the Transformers version.
So on the Roadbuster one, the little stinky one, for some reason they felt like the weapons needed to do something else, so he's got one that's more or less for his vehicle mode, and then he's got his rifle for robot mode.
Yeah.
Except they share half of their parts. So in order to make one, you have to dismantle the other.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
And it's super annoying and super pointless.
I vaguely remember that. I want to say I saw some through line of logic on that, but I don't remember what it was anymore.
I
need to go pop them open and mess around with them some more.
I don't see where the logic in that lies.
Yeah, I remember thinking something, but I'm going to go bust them open, like, next week or something and play around a bit. Right. I always meant to videotape them, too. I never got around to doing that. I should do that.
So, on toys that didn't break on me, I finally got in my Combiner War Breakneck and Quickslinger.
Mm-hmm.
They are repaints. So,
yep.
Yeah, they They are repaints. They are as good as they were before. It makes me happy to have a kind of a Classics Generations-esque road Wild Rider.
Yeah.
That was my Stunticon growing up.
And I think he's built better than Off-Road, sadly.
Well, to be fair, Off-Road's kind of the knockoff. Okay, you're kind of the stand-in.
Yeah, but like, physically, Off-Road, I think, is one of the weaker Combiner Wars toys I've messed with. Like, at least my copy. He's just, like, the most rickety of the limbs I own.
Ah.
So I feel less guilty about shunting him to one side.
That's kind of weird, because Red Alert came out fine. Like, I'm kind of interested in how Ironhide's going to shape up now.
Yeah, I mean, I got a feeling like he'll be okay. Because, yeah, Red Alert was such a pleasant surprise. I was worried after Off-Road of, like, man, I like how Off-Road looks, but he just doesn't feel good. And Red Alert felt, like, just gorgeous. So, I don't know.
No. So, yeah, it's still the dead-end mold. It still holds up. I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it dawns on me that I'm about one wave away from being able to combine someone with the four molds.
Like, yeah.
Four limbs, all the same mold. And then Quickslinger is Quickslinger. Like I feel bad, because I wish I had more feelings toward it, because it's not a bad toy. Like, I just feel like I own it, you know, three times already.
Yeah. And I think Quickslinger's the weakest version of that mold so far, unfortunately. This, again, build quality-wise, he feels the ricketiest. I had to do the most floor polishing to him.
Yeah, I haven't tried any combining with him yet, so I've not had that experience. I have the feeling he'll end up as a leg anyway. I think that's where I have Alpha Bravo.
Yeah.
Beyond that, finally got my Combiner War Ultra Magnus.
Mm-hmm.
First time I paid full price for one of the Combiner War leaders. Honestly, don't regret it.
Yeah, I mean, American full price for them is fine. It's just like the ceiling of what I would want to pay for one.
Yeah, well I got Jetfire, and that's my ideal Jetfire. But for what it is and how it's made, I was good getting him at a discount. And I would say the same about the Armada Megatron that I got.
Hmm.
This one, like, I am perfectly happy with him. Like, I ended up selling City Commander a while back, and this, like, I got this Magnus in hand. I'm like, I don't miss Commander at all. I really don't. I love the look. You know, the IDW aesthetic. It's like the nice upgrade of the G1 toy that I like so much. You know, it does what I wanted a Magnus to do, which is completely skip over that whole cab transforming into an independent robot. Just go straight from vehicle, straight to the robot. That's how I saw it in the cartoon. That's what I want. And it does it beautifully. You know, and I like how much... I like how much of the G1 transformation is still retained, but then again, I don't know how else you do that transformation.
Yeah, it's kind of like there's a certain amount of logic that, you know, it would be illogical to be different for difference's sake. The Iron Factory one's the same. It's kind of like, well, how do you think the legs will transform? Yep.
Yeah. Well, part of that is because of the move, the season 3 aesthetic, which is, you know, very, you know, everything's very alien, so all the parts are very visible. There's not a whole lot of hiding.
Yeah.
So, like, especially with Ultra Magnus, because, okay, well, his trailer is his arms and his legs. There's pretty much no hiding that or altering it. But I like the twist to the transformation. It comes out a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
You know, I like how they work the chest into the floor of the trailer. And the gimmick. Unfortunately, my Minimus has kind of a really bad ball joint. So, like, his right arm just really wants to fall off all the time.
Ah, that sucks.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if there's, like, excess plastic in the socket, or if it's just not holding tight enough. I have to figure it out, one or the other. But the piloting is neat. It doesn't bug me that it's, you know, that he has to ride outside. Like, because part of me views him as a bonus in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's using up parts count, but, like, and more parts count than I expected. But if I was going to yell at anything for using up parts count, it would be the stupid knuckle joints that don't help with anything.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, I would have been perfectly fine with just your standard hands.
Yeah, I hate those knuckle joints.
Yeah.
And, like, there's ways to fix them coming up, which cost more money. And it's like, man, those knuckle joints.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah. That would be my one grievance. Just the fact that he has such a hard time holding on to his own guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's ways for it to work, but it's just irritating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and there are so many solutions that have been engineered over the last couple of years, like the palm slot, for instance, that like or the chiseled out 5mm tunnel down the palm. It's like, mm-hmm. come on, guys.
Yeah, it's the one downside.
Yeah.
But it's it still works out for me. Like I still like him enough to where like I have no regrets paying the full price. He stands very proudly. Like I haven't been able to put him in the shelves yet, just because I still like fiddling with.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah, unless I've forgotten to write something down, that is it for on topic.
Well, the last on topic thing I got. Was another Make Toys thing that there were like a couple of at the show. They only brought a few because it's not gone into full production yet, but they were selling them. Is another one of their remaster figures. This is the Visualizers, which is Make Toys' version of Reflector, done in a very masterpiece style. In my opinion, a very well done masterpiece style. I think they nailed it, having played with these guys a bunch. Aesthetically, the only like so color wise, they've taken a few liberties, but like their color palette is so obviously Reflector. I feel okay with it. In mm-hmm. most animation, Reflector has fully purple feet and doesn't have those gray things on them. I don't really care. The only bummer is that I could have, like, they have one color of, like, nearly white gray on their bodies. I could have used maybe a darker gray here and there. Aesthetically, the only problem I have with them is that their helmets are a bit too thin. The purple helmet, like, the face could stay the same. If the purple helmet was a bit thicker, I'd have liked that, but I think it needed to be that thin to fit in where it goes for transformation on all of them. Okay. Except for maybe the guy with the shutter on his stomach, but then one of them would have a fatter head than the other ones. So, you know, that'd suck. The way they work is real cool, because you know how, so it's like you can see in the photos, right, that they, you know, they turn into a camera, obviously, and there's a separate flash that can go on top of the camera. The telephoto lens, like the extended lens cylinder, every single Reflector, official or unofficial, that's a separate piece. On these guys, that thing is built into them. So if you just have the three robots and none of their accessories, you still get that camera mode with the telephoto extended piece, like the cylinder on the front. And I think that's amazing. And to me, that is what makes these guys, like, fantastic. That you don't need an extra piece to get the basic shape of the camera from the show. And the way they do that is the telephoto lens splits in half. Into like two discs that are stacked up in camera mode. One of the discs is in one of the Reflector backpacks. The other disc and the front lens is in the other Reflector backpack of the two guys who don't have the shutter on their belly. So it's kind of cool how they like hid it in there. And the transformation I think is really cool. There's a couple parts that are just like a little way too tight to mess with. I heard that they might be loosening some of those tolerances up before it goes to production. As it is, I do need a little flathead screwdriver to get one piece apart on them easily. Like, I could probably wrestle it apart, but it just hurts. The transformation's great. It's a real solid connection for the camera mode because, like, that telephoto lens cylinder is coming from the two outer third chunks and sealing up over the middle third. So aside from all the locks and tabs they're using to connect together, you have, like, this finishing lock on the front that, like, you, if you try to, you can wrestle, you know, some gaps apart on the camera mode, but it holds together real nice. It's meaty, it's big in actual human hands, and it comes with this black piece that you can see there with the metal threaded part. If you stick that underneath the camera, that is actually threaded to work with real tripods. So you can attach a real tripod to the Reflector camera.
Oh, okay.
And that's just a cool Easter egg. They each come with a gun. The Flash is another big gun they can use. There's three alternate faces, one of which is totally the guy, the Reflector guy, who's terrified to go through the space bridge in that one episode. There's also like a smaller camera, like static piece included that's meant to go with Masterpiece Toys. You can see in the thread at the top, like they got a sound wave holding onto it, and it's clearly like still a little bit too big. It could have stood to be shrunken down a little bit. But I love them. I think that they are a fantastic reflector attempt, especially for a G1 cartoon accurate reflector attempt. I think they hit a lot of the marks in the right way, little nitpicks here and there. But to have the telephoto lens built into the three robots, so all the parts forming is just for extra stuff, like the flash that is not on the cartoon model, if I recall correctly. Like, the cartoon model is built into the three robots, and that is everything I want out of a higher-end reflector. So I'm very satisfied. And they pose real nice. They got some good stuff going on. The only bummer for posing is that the guy with the shutter on his belly has double jointed knees. The other two have single jointed knee ranges. I guess that's a shame, but the ankle tilts are all great. There's a good flow to their bodies, good proportions. I like them a lot. There are other companies doing reflectors as well. I have looked. Their telephoto lenses parts form. That bugs me a whole bunch now that I have one that doesn't need to do that. So I'm happy with this. That's the on topic section. Let's get off topic. I'll just briefly touch on mine. I got Figuarts Kamen Rider Drive and Machine Chaser from the current show. And they are, man, they are nicely done. Like, gone are the days when Figuarts toys of rider shows that are on the air right now are, like, questionable or rushed. Like, Figuarts Drive Type Speed, Figuarts Machine Chaser are, like, fantastic. Like, I couldn't ask for much more out of either of these toys. I'll send you a picture of Machine Chaser and his bike. His bike is just a Figuarts bike. It's a big static thing with like a turning front wheel and a spring axis on the back wheel. But like the figure posability is like up there. Like it's on par with the current state of Figuarts and like some of the better current state of Figuarts toys. Like really good joint integration, really good sculpt and paint. Like the proportions look spot on. And then like Drive Type Speed, he's got like a tire across his chest. And the tire comes off in, like, two pieces, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, you know, the tire comes off in two pieces. There's other stuff you can do, but he has the gimmick toy gimmick, the tire Kokon gimmick, but he's a Figuarts toy. But the gimmick, as far as the play pattern, feels to me identical in terms of time, in terms of, like, swappability. The tires are just harder to get a hold of for the Figuarts toy, because they're all, like, pre-order bonuses. But I was like, man, like, this borderline nullifies the TK series. And then, like, all the little cars in his belt can come off. You can, like, pull the belt off to, like, switch the cylinder inside with what, you know, symbol is showing on the readout. You can put different cars on his wrist brace. But they also all stay attached super solid while I'm posing him. So it's not like the Gaim toys or the Forze toys where, like, all these tiny pieces are like, you know, disintegrating off of the figure if I bump them the wrong way. So Drive Type Speed is, like, a friggin' knockout of the park. And it's the show that's on the air right now. Like, maybe it's been like this for a while and I just didn't pay attention too much. But as far as I understood, the Wizard toy, Figuart toys were, it took a little while for them to hit something. So, I don't know. The Gaim Figuarts were like this too. So maybe it's just, this is the new status quo, is we get a good dude working on the stuff that's on the air right now. Anyway, that's it for my off topic, I believe. So, Aaron, what about you? What's your off-topicage?
Off-topicage? So I talked about Firefly the board game a while back.
Yes.
They had pre-orders for, and then I got a surprise shipping notification and then surprise foreign transaction fees when my Esmeralda and Jetwash expansion ships shipped. So it's two more ships for Firefly the game, which they have different abilities and layouts. So instead of being a Mark 3 Firefly, it's a Mark 4 Firefly, which carries more cargo, but then it doesn't have a stash and it has other things that kind of balance the game.
You said so ship a bunch of times and I got confused for a second. But
yes. So when you play the game, you have your captain and then you have your ship, and the base game, it's just four of the same ship that's basically the Serenity. And then the expansions add different ships that do different things. Like there's one that's a general cargo ship, but it's slow. And then there's one that's Jubal Early's Interceptor, and it's fast, but it has virtually no cargo space. And so then this one has different setup for using it. So you get a whole lot more starting money, but then you actually have to buy your ship. So they can use like the what was put on there just kind of as flavor before of like how much it costs. And they can then turn around and say, okay, well, this one costs more, so you end up with less to start with, but you end up, you know, it balances it in a different way.
Do you get a physical representation of the ships as well, or is it all?
Well, it's game board, game token size.
Is it a nice enough sculpt for its size, though?
Yeah, it's a good sculpt for its size. Cool. And it's colored for the theme, so the Esmeralda is purple, and the jet wash is like a kind of like a safety-ish green. And then it also comes with D6s that match the color of the ship.
Oh, cool.
So between that and I got a 9 die set that came out at one point in time that matches all of the other ship colors. That way you're not having to pass the die around for when you're doing things. And each person has their own color-coded die, and then that way they don't have to touch anybody else's.
Don't touch my dice.
Hey, man, it gets serious sometimes.
I haven't had the
chance to play with that yet. Might this up, not this weekend, but next weekend at Gen Con.
Man, how many conventions are happening? Is it the summer or something? Jeez.
Yeah, something like that. but yeah, I'm going to be at Gen Con this year, so come find the Lego Robo Rally Rescue and say hey.
Ask for autographs so Aaron can sell them to you.
Yeah, maybe.
That was my phone because I just took a picture and saved it, and I didn't know my phone sound was on.
Yes, apparently it is.
Well. No, that's cool. I was wondering about the game token thing, because, like, that's the kind of thing that gets me to, like, used to get me to purchase games that I hardly ever even played. It's like, but it has
so
little
they
models.
Actually have premium token, premium models that you can use as well, but it's like $50 for 5 of them. It feels kind of salty.
I mean, if they're painted and everything,
yeah,
I could see it.
No, those aren't. They come as resins.
Oh, well, if they're resins, that's a different angle of I can see how that works.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not finding it here. Dude, come on. Stupid slow internet.
Well, if you got the premium internet, then you wouldn't be having this problem.
Don't start.
Made of resin. Yeah. It's artisan hand cast internet.
Yeah, here's the link for the customizable shit. Nope, that just says JavaScript void. That's not a link. all right then. How about we just copy the store's webpage then so you can see all of the crap they have? But yes. The customizable ship models, $50. You get 4 Fireflies, a Reaver ship, and the Alliance cruiser, but all unpainted.
And do you think that the packed in models you got are those? Do you think those could be painted up in a way that'd be decent?
The packed in models, they're kind of a rubbery plastic, so
I've
I don't
seen
know
it
how
done
well
on rubbery
paint would
plastic.
Stick to it.
Get enamel painted.
I mean,
on
you
there.
Could you could. Yeah, you could spice them up if you wanted to, but they're also just kind of, game pieces. So these aren't big enough that it'd seem like it'd be a great use of it. But
once upon a time, I would do that with
your
like,
mileage may vary.
I did that with my Hero Quest Barbarian once, just because when I was in the heart of my Games Workshop days, I was like, I will paint everything.
Paint all the things.
Yeah.
And they've got a new expansion and then the whole damn verse game mat. So the stock game has one board, one expansion adds another board that sits on one side, another expansion has another board that sits on the other side. For the Caliandra expansion, which is the last of the large sums of the verse. It's all getting added together, and it's starting to become very expensive for this simple board game.
Welcome to Zombies.
Yeah. But no, that's my what we got.
All right. Well, TJ, what was your off-topic world looking like?
Looking pretty random, quite frankly. I went all over the place. So, part of my BBTS pile was a long-awaited Metroid from Jack Specific's line.
Those don't exist.
You wouldn't think they do. Because I've never seen one in a store, and anytime I check an online shop, it says sold out.
For some reason with that Metroid, I have to get it in person. I don't want to order it online. Like, with Jack's World of Nintendo stuff, it's like, I like how some of it looks, but I don't want to go through that one extra step.
Honestly, I'm not sure how you avoid it on this one. Because, like, as far as I know, like, Wave 3 of that size is coming out at the end of the month.
And, well, how is the Metroid? Like, I know the main thing about it is it's big and the top is squishy.
Yeah, it is big. The top is squishy. The top is made of this, like, translucent teal rubbery plastic, and it gives it this very jellyfish quality, which is perfect for a Metroid.
Yeah.
Articulation wise, like, the claws underneath are universally jointed.
Oh, wow.
So you can kind of have it mawing down on things as, you know, as you wish.
I really wasn't expecting anything other than the top is squishy, so that's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah. One thing I like is the inside is not only is this thing, like, really well, like, molded, like, if you turn it over, like, there's, like, muscular mold lines going into the center, like he's got some kind of, like, inner maw.
Man.
But it's also painted nicely. So he looks like he's got this, like, musculature underneath that jellyfish. And inside, you can see, like, little dots of yellow on the little, this, like, little nucleus brain thing.
Man, by the way, checking Big Bad, set of two for that 6-inch figure series. Pre-order sold out.
I luckily got in on a pre-order on that about 2 months ago, and it just came in.
And does the squishy stuff, does it feel durable? I don't know how to put it differently, but does it feel like something that might, like, I got to pay attention to, keep moisturized, or like...
It's kind of hard to tell. Like,
yeah.
Being brand new, like... I would assume, just because I don't foresee that being something that they'd overlook. Because this is like a big Nintendo thing, so I would assume this has to go through some fairly tough measures.
I mean, you say that, but Playmates' Nicktoons Krangs, like, were disintegrating after a year in some cases, so I'd...
Yeah, but that's not overseen by, like, a super old-fashioned Japanese company that was very hesitant to license their stuff out in the first place.
That's my only worry about that Metroid, is, like, if I keep squishing his head, is it just gonna, like, deflate at some point? And, like...
I know. It bugs me that they're so rare, because I kind of wanted, like, a little swarm of them.
I hope someone can get it through to Jax, like, yo, if you just release, like... A shipping wave of just the Metroids, it'll probably go well.
Probably. I think my one regret is it's based on the Prime Metroids, and oddly enough, the Metroid that's closest is the one from Metroid Prime Pinball.
It's kind of weird. I want the big baby from Super. That's the Metroid I care about.
Like, I want the Super Metroid.
Yeah.
Like, I want that, like, giant, you know, green orb. Though I will say, like, if you have the Figma, it actually scales pretty well.
Oh, nice. I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect. I can live with it being the baby for now. Like, what's the world we're in where it's like, we're getting a giant Metroid toy, it's like, oh, it's the wrong color. I don't want it anymore.
It's not my Metroid. Like, it's not a G1 Metroid.
To me, it looks like a Metroid, you know?
It is.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much that looks like that.
I can live with that being the baby. It's like, okay, you know what? I don't know. The lighting is different here. It's a ROM hack, okay?
It's a ROM hack. It's a Chinese bootleg.
Yeah. Sprite corruption. Now he's blue. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
But it is a very cool thing to have. Something else from the birthday celebrations. The female of my life helped me pick up a Legacy Saba.
Oh, I saw that at a Toys R Us. It's freaking big.
Yeah, it's like proper, like, prop scale replica size.
Yeah.
Like, it's enormous. Heavy, too.
Yeah, like, I almost wanted to get it, but I couldn't get over the noise of the motor when I watched the video.
Yeah, it's a little annoying. I don't see how that's avoidable, though.
Yeah, like, I mean, with Legacy Power Ranger stuff, I basically just look for a reason to not get it most of the time anyway. So when I get handed one on a silver platter, it's like, yep!
When it comes to the roleplay stuff, it hits me a little bit closer to home because I didn't have the Dragon Dagger or Saba as a kid.
Yeah.
That's like two of the few Power Ranger toys I never got. But both of them my father purchased and then made me give to someone else on their birthday.
Wonderful cruelty.
Like, Saba didn't sting as much because that was my best friend at the time, but like the Dragon Dagger was just like some kid that, you know, our dads worked together. Like, I don't even remember that day.
Went to some scumbag.
Pretty much. But, like, it is, like, an amazing piece. Like, okay, the blade extends like the old toy. That's, who cares? It's not a big deal. Massive amounts of die cast in this thing. Like, the coin, the rings above, below the hilt, the sides of the hilt, Saba's helmet. Electronics are really good. I want to say, like, I had to go back and rewatch the episode where Saba debuted because it's the same lines, actually in the same order, which is kind of weird.
Oh, cool.
I want to say they used the original audio clips from the show. Like, not like recording from the show. I mean, like, the actual voice actor, the raw audio.
What I understand is they got the voice actor to come back in and re-record the lines in a new sound booth for that toy.
Really?
Yeah, that's the understanding of what I heard from Toy Fair, which that's what got me so interested in the thing. Like, that's that extra step. That's why I'm also so kind of harsh on the motor noise, because I'm like, I'm like, it's drowning out this thing you spent all this extra money on. Damn it.
Because, that's actually kind of a... That's actually kind of impressive because, like, I had this toy in my hand, like, playing it back to back with the show, and there's, like, some of those lines you can't tell.
Yeah.
Like, they're said with the same inflections and the same pacing.
I mean, I didn't keep up with the whole development of the toy, but my understanding is that the voice actor came in to re-record. If anyone out there knows for sure, let me know in the thread. But yeah, that was an extra step that I thought was, like, freaking cool of them to do.
Yeah. Well, either way, if they had the voice actor come back or they found the raw audio sitting somewhere in Saban, either way is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, because I couldn't tell the difference. Yeah, so really, really cool piece. I will admit, 100's pretty pricey. Like, you have to, like, really love the White Ranger or, like, have scars from childhood.
Helps to see it in person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that box is impressive.
Yeah, pick it up.
Yeah.
Like, if you see it at Toys R Us, pick it up, and that kind of explains the price. It's properly weighty.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing off topic I had, and I had Lego adventures for my birthday.
What, like you got sucked into a machine, you and Wild Style went and fought Doctor Who?
I wish.
I got good news for you, but...
Yeah, I've seen the previews. That game is going to be completely insane.
Yeah.
And probably play exactly like the other Lego games.
Yep, but for $200.
Oh, yeah.
So,
200.
Well, if you buy all the Lego, right?
Oh, well.
No, I mean, what, you're going to buy Dimensions?
Minor and just, point.
You're not going to buy any of the chips to go with it?
Come on, plastic DLC. You got to do it.
I was just thinking, like, straight up front cost $200.
Oh, no, no. You know what, though? Lego Group might have the balls, you know? Depends, I guess. It probably wouldn't. But no, I mean, yeah, I mean, like, if you get all the add-ons from, like, Wave 1 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Get your Back to the Future, your Portal, your Doctor Who, your... They should just put Big Bang Theory in it, because why not? Anyway, what was your Lego adventure?
Okay, so, a couple weeks back, I'm going through the Walmart's clearance section, and they've got the Lego Ninjago Mech Dragon, which is this giant purple, black, and like gunmetal gray robot dragon piloted by cyborg ninjas.
Yeah, I seen that.
It's like 8-year-old me wets himself thinking about things like that.
That's one of those kits I almost bought then didn't when I realized I'm buying kits and not building them.
Ah. Well, this was like a $90 set marked down to $41.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. Yeah, that came home with me. Like, the same Walmart has, like, $90, like, Chima sets for, like, $44. And I'm just, like, I'm waiting for it to just drop a bit more before I grab those.
Praise the sun, you're not a mocker and you don't have dumb reasons to convince yourself to literally buy any Lego just for the parts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so the build itself is really, really cool. Like, it's this massive dragon when you're done, blades for wings. It's got buzz saws that are on rubber bands. So you flick a piece, they spin, and then the arm goes back so you can flick it again.
Yeah.
Proper launching missile, little cage that sits inside the torso. I thought that was a really cool touch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's a really cool build, but I kind of just, like, set it aside for a rainy day. Birthday comes around, and, okay, among all of my, like, wishes on Facebook, a friend of mine wished, sent me, "May your day be blessed with love, cake, and Lego." I thought, okay, that's actually a good idea. Let's crack open that box, and we'll have some Lego on my birthday. So, pull this thing out, dump everything out, realize I'm, like, one tire short on the little car that comes with it. So I'm dumping everything out. I'm checking through bags. And when I look through the bags, I notice a Batman helmet.
Hmm.
Okay, let's double check. Let's inventory this thing. So this is like a 6-bag set. I've got 10 bags. It's only now that I actually realize that the box that I in particular had bought was retaped. So I did a little bit of digging. Turns out 4 of these bags came from the Batman Black Manta Deep Sea Attack set.
I wonder why.
That's what confuses me. Because here's the thing. It's a specific bag. It's that set is like 5 bags. 2 bags are Batman and his Bat Sub. 2 bags are Black Manta and his, like, big Manta Ray sub. And then the 5th bag is Aquaman and a little playset that goes with him. Only the Aquaman set was missing.
Somebody really wanted Aquaman.
That's what I am assuming. Like, someone who just, like, needed an Aquaman for his DC set and didn't want to have, like, his 18th Batman.
So how did it end up in a Ninjago box?
Okay, best guess, since it is, like, a big box that had been sitting around for a long time, like, my best guess is, like, someone ripped open the Batman set at the store, and some, like, stock boy came by, saw the bags, saw the big open Ninjago box, and just thought, oh, they spilled out of there, and just stuffed it all back together.
All right.
Best guess.
Well, either way, happy birthday.
Yeah, like, the Lego gods heard the blessing, like... Free Lego just spilled out on my bed. It was cool.
Yeah.
One of the weirder experiences I've had in any kind of toy purchase.
Man, how much research would you have to do to rip open that Batman set and know what bag to take?
Not a lot. Well, you check the instructions online.
I guess so.
Just kind of toss the bag over around looking at it.
It's just so premeditated.
Yeah.
I want Aquaman. You know?
Well, he could... Well, it's not like they're, like, black, opaque bags. You know, he could just ripped it open and grabbed Aquaman's.
Still, it's just like, man, why Aquaman?
That's one of my things. Like, who rips open a Batman set and steals Aquaman? Like, unless I assume he's got, like, a dozen Batman already. Because, like, every DC superhero set has Batman in it.
I love Aquaman! Says the guy who stole it off in the corner.
I love Aquaman so much, I'm not paying anything for him.
That's pretty darn cool.
Yeah, that was a cool little birthday surprise. Except now I have to go get the Aquaman bag separately.
Nah, man, cut him out of your life. Who needs Aquaman? Build a giant, like, vehicle out of whatever is there.
Well, that's the thing. Like, Bag 5 is just the little playset piece, and the playset piece looks like something you put at the bottom of an aquarium.
Yeah.
So, like, the subs are complete. Those are built and already on my table.
All right. Now, who needs Aquaman? You know, validate this person. You're like, I didn't want him anyway.
Yeah, as an Aquaman fan, I'm so mad listening to this right now.
Yeah, Aquaman's cool. But who needs him?
Apparently someone at my Walmart did.
Yeah, Florida man goes to Walmart, steals Aquaman, leaves rest.
But, yeah, my birthday was filled with, you know, luck and adventure, and that will all have to wait until the rest of the luck arrives. So that will end my off-topic.
Mail order luck. I forgot, I also got the most recent 66 Action Rider series when I got those Fig Arts Drive guys. It's the one with Mach, Axel, Shadow Moon, and the two red Kugas. It's a real good series. Shadow Moon's a bummer because his elbow spikes fall out easy, but holy crap, Axel turns into a motorcycle. Lots of parts forming, but still, 66 Action, posable little dude turning into a 66 Action little motorcycle. It's super worth your money, especially if you get candy with it, and you do. I sold my spare one at TFCon, and whoever bought 66 Action for me at TFCon also got spare candy, because I don't like the candy, and everyone else does. So, some very happy people got a lot of candy this past weekend. Anyway, thank you all for listening. That takes us to the end of the show. Again, my apologies for the delay on getting all these out. I'm trying to not fall behind on making videos now that I'm doing a bunch of convention-y summer stuff. So I'm trying to prioritize that stuff. For TFCon, I did try to get the James Roberts interview out as fast as possible, so at least that's there. If you haven't listened to it, please go check it out, because it was a real fun discussion. I mean, don't check it out if you don't want to hear spoilers, because we do talk spoilers, but yo, if you want to know some more details about biology of IDW Transformers and like what the hierarchy of Rossum's Trinity is, it's in there. I find that stuff fascinating, so I don't know, maybe one or two of you do as well. Like, what part of the Trinity can you survive with that? Go check out the interview and find out! Anyway, thank you, DJ and Aaron, for joining me this week, and I'm off to Con Bravo tomorrow. And then I'm back for a couple weeks of not going to conventions, but then I'm going to TF Expo in the middle of August. So, summertime is here. Enjoy. Like, most of you aren't, because it's heat waving, man. Like, friggin' global warming. What a jerk. Anyway, bye-bye.
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.